Shut up. The footage of Triple M. It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Get around him.
For the Ford Ranger, the truck that's always best and fairest. Work smarter, play harder.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
And we're ready to get this one underway.
Tommy Hawkins to give the Cats the start all their fans want tonight. Leans back on it, looks good off the boot. And Kelly opens up the angle with three in a row.
So 50, Radigalia.
He's lighting up the MCG.
Dalhouse to Radigalia. Yes. Unloads one-on-one. Hawkins takes the mark. Hawkins has got four.
Dalhouse with a dribbler. This could be a big moment. It is.
Siren. The Cats are into a prelim.
Yes, thank you very much. We are here on a Saturday afternoon. We've just enjoyed two amazing hours with Spud Frawley, and what an incredible time we had with him, and amazing journey through his broadcasting career. Now we swing into footy mode for McDonald's, and by the way, the Monopoly game at Macca's is back and bigger than ever. Visit maccasplay.com.au for full terms. The Cats brilliant last night, and it's time to welcome into this studio Bill Brownless.
G'day, Jim.
And Duck and wandering in.
Brian, and hang on, Duck, hold your powder. Damo, but Duck and I were just sitting back and certainly listening to it in the car, and then that last half hour here. That was magnificent, boys. Very well done. You got the band back together, and love listening to that.
Absolutely. Very emotional. Yep. Great tribute. Loved every bit of it. And I know plenty of people that were tuning in.
When you hear his stuff back to back like you did then, it's amazing amount of work, isn't it?
Just the laugh, the energy, and the mayo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The amount of people that I've had come up to me and say that that stuff was the funniest radio they have ever heard. Mm. It is seriously good.
It is actually a great tribute to Spud, Damo, that you can put 2 hours of that quality together. I mean, there aren't many people that you could say, well, you know, let's jam all their best stuff together and we'll get 2 hours out of it. I mean, it's just amazing.
Jim, you were part of the editing process prior to it being determined what we actually used, and there was at least another 3 to 4 hours of material that would have stood up in that same environment.
Oh, just the mayo. I love it. He had his own mayo factory.
He did. No, it was wonderful. Hey, let's swing our focus on to the game last night. Fat has...
Yes, geez, Jimmy.
We've had a couple of different versions of Fat Saturday, Robert, last week.
Oh, Jimmy, we're up and about.
To use one of Spud's hackneyed phrases, you walked under the door last week.
I did.
Now, have a look at him.
And have you ever actually watched a game with Bill when the Cats are playing at a local establishment?
I refuse to.
He's like a real nuff-nuff.
No. Of course he is.
A real nuffy.
Should have seen me last night in the box giving it to the West Coast. You know what? It was the old five-minute tester. You know, with the Cats early on, last week they were 3 goals down in the first 10 minutes. Last night they were 3 goals up at the 5 minute game over.
The Nuffy element kicked in last night, Bill, before the game. I saw you down somewhere near the ground itself, ringing a bell.
Yes.
No, oh, no.
Yes.
Well, this is a great tradition.
You're ringing the bell.
Damien, it's a great tradition that Geelong have had for the last year. Where a pass player goes down and rings the bell and it fires the player.
How many times have you rang the bell?
That's the first time. They use a different pass player every week. Cameron Mooney did it last week. He didn't get into it this week. And I had to walk past
Are you there for a special reason now? Well, you've got them a finals win, which hasn't happened a lot, Bill.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
Was it a semi-final? Which game was it where you kicked the goal after the siren? Was that a semi going into a prelim? Qualifying, was it? Okay.
I think you've become a bit like a toy.
Yeah, but...
certainly don't need to go there.
The old bell ringer. But you knew straight away, didn't you? They were on last night, and Big Hawk, I tell you what, he was aggressive, of course, and we'll talk about that later, but he was very aggressive early, and the warrior, Joel Selwood,
he is
just a warrior. He just led from the front. He hasn't had the greatest year, but last night he was sensational.
He was brilliant.
That goal he kicked, you know, the one he had to kick at the city end of the ground, he just had to kick that goal because they were losing a little bit of a grip on it, Geelong. I thought they looked like they were going to get rolled over.
And Richo and I said at the time, BT, and I think back over the last 10 years, when he has had a kick like that, under pressure, he doesn't miss.
That's right.
Now, he's missed goals before, obviously, like everyone, but when he has to kick one,
a captain's goal,
always kicks it. And that's exactly what he did again last night. That was a huge goal.
It was a good win by him, because if they lost,
they were out, Bill.
That's the end of the season.
And so was I. Thank you, dickhead. Let me finish, Duck. And don't hit me and think you're actually funny with that stupid comment.
That's what Spud does, all that sort of thing. He whacks you. He cuts you off mid-sentence.
But I'm telling you, if they lost last night...
They're out.
Oh, good one, Duck. But no, you flog. They don't worry. Everyone would have come for the coach. Chris Scott would have been under the pump this morning, and the players.
Well, he could have used one of Spud's gags and put a pump above his head.
Yeah, he would have. He would have been under the pump. He would have been under the
pump. But you've got to remember, firstly, you don't finish on top, clearly on top, for no reason. Yeah. So they're the best team home and away pretty much for the whole year. They had a wobbly bit back end.
Yeah.
But also, Duck, Chris Scott has a better win-loss ratio than any coach in the competition. So you knew he and they were going to respond.
We all have respect for Chris Scott. He's had a weird month, and then that's been well documented.
Oh, you wrote an article. I wondered whether you did.
He had a weird month, but I'm a fan of Chris Scott. Tell you what, and the reason
he
why,
must have
and the reason
last
why,
night,
a little bit
he?
Of frust. Do you reckon I'm scared of Chris Scott?
Did he ring him?
And the reason why we have so much respect for this footy club, as you said, JB, is for what they've been able to do. But if you look at how they've played prior to last night, they got back to playing the footy like they did in the first 12
That's
weeks
it.
Last night.
So here.
They played on. They took the game on. They did. It wasn't just
so
boring footy.
I mean, last week we saw them go down the line and, you know, we hear all the nonsense come out of the club during the week that's how they played all year. No. Last night is how you've played for most of the year. You were quick to switch the ball if it needed to be switched, but you picked the right time to go down the line.
Yeah. More daring.
You know, more daring. And just I think the timing of when they went and when they stayed was really important last night.
I will say, obviously Collingwood set up really well. We're probably taking a little bit away. Collingwood clearly played that game really well. Their pressure was at a really, really high level. Maybe West Coast wasn't quite there. That gave them more opportunity to do exactly what they did last night. No. But they were absolutely on, and they were sharp. And Guthrie played the best game I've seen since he's been at that footy club. He's played some good
because
games.
Because I always wondered why he was so important to them. I still wonder, what is it that makes him important?
Well he's a run-with player. Is there any real run-with player when needed?
Clearance work last night was brilliant. Yeah. And what I loved about his game last night was his dash. Every time he got it, he looked like he had energy.
Yeah.
And that energy created people, you know, it created confusion for West Coast. And he was able to break free a lot of times. And in actual fact, never hardly got tackled.
What about Radaglia? You like his attack on the ball, Duck?
Oh, he's a BT. We did a little thing at halftime and he said, describe him. I said, he's an animal because of the way he attacks the footy in the air. He just launches himself at it for a young man.
And once he launched himself, didn't mark the footy, but he destroyed the pack.
Like 10-pin bowling, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So a decent response from him. There were lots of players that needed to respond and did, which is a good thing.
And it was, as you said, it was a team thing, which they did in the first 10 or 11 weeks. They all contributed, but good win.
Dangerfield was great.
Yeah, the only last thing... Quarter. Yeah, oh, he did things in big moments. Didn't have a stack of the footy, but you're right, BT. Yeah. The only confusing piece of the puzzle last night was Blixarv's lining up on the wing. Look, he's a very good player, BNF winner in different positions. I think his best position is down back, but they figured he'd be better
on the
wing.
He started, Duck. And he started on the wing.
Yeah,
when
I know.
He first
I know. Yeah. I did the game. And
just say, Duck. He went back to his first year of football.
I know, but he didn't do it. I didn't think he did it real well when he first started. And he was on a guy that was an actual wingman, Gaff. Mm. And in that third term, he got lost.
Hard to.
He got. Absolutely lost. Two goals.
Get a word in today.
Oh, I know.
Did you know Gaff had never kicked
again.
A goal? Gaff had
what
never
are you
kicked,
on?
He'd never kicked a goal.
You been to bed?
He'd never kicked a Bill, you are
well,
a,
you
it's
are
a
in,
dingbat.
You are stop in
your,
chatting.
You're the only one. You are in your undies, virtually.
You got your jammies on walked in.
You know what? You know what the thing about this show is?
Oh, here he goes.
You get up early in the morning, you go to the gym, right? And you come in here. And if you're feeling good and you've been active and everything else, then you're a flog.
Yes.
And if you come in here and you're a bit overweight or you've gone and had a few beers like Bill last night at the bot, then, you know, Duck, look at that.
But, Duck.
You can't win.
Just slow down.
What do you want me to do?
Shut up.
Not many people wear their active wear to work.
Duck.
All right. Well, not many people do that.
I would hate to see you in your activewear. That would not be a good sight.
Hey, I'll tell you what we need to do, Damo, and we all do that. We have always done this on Triple M, and that's declare our hand.
Yes,
to
always.
To get hold of Harry Taylor, we had to pre-record him earlier today because he's got a full day of meetings and the rest of it. And therefore, pardon me, when we spoke to Harry, he did not know about what was going on with Tom Hawkins. So, Harry, welcome to you.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys.
Hey, mate, congratulations. We were just talking about the response that your team and club emphatically provided last night after a disappointing first round of the finals, and that's what good clubs are all about.
Yeah, it was a good response. We were much happier with our performance. We thought we were really poor in certain areas against Collingwood, but we had a pretty trying start to the week. It's always difficult when you lose big finals to the front up and, you know, look through the errors, look through all the mistakes and try to go again. But the way that the club, particularly the coaches, delivered the messages this week was just as important as what the messages were. And we as players tried to really galvanise each other and come out and put in a better performance against West Coast, which I thought we did.
Harry, when you say delivered in a particular way, what do you mean by that?
When you have a bad loss and obviously finals are these big moments where you want to play a certain way and you don't, just how you frame that message, particularly given the opportunity we had to play again, is really important. Obviously, you can look at it in a really negative viewpoint and look, we made all these mistakes. We could have been having a week off. We could have, you know, had our feet up this weekend. But how we actually frame that message is so important, and the coaches and the leaders in particular, spent a lot of time working out what to say, but how you say it is just as important sometimes.
Harry, we've all got forms of self-doubt, and you've touched on the way that everyone in the industry came for you after what happened against Collingwood in week one. Personally, at this stage of your career, how did you deal with that aspect of it?
Well, I've sort of learnt probably in the last few years not to deal too much with the media in terms of reading papers. I don't have any social media. I don't tend to watch too much on TV purely because I understand how important that is to the industry, but I also understand that that's only opinions, and all of you guys, some have played the game, some have been involved in the game for a very long period of time, and your opinions are what a great deal of the public want to hear about and read about and listen to. But as a player, we have to understand that that's only one opinion. And that one opinion may be very different to other opinions. And so if you're getting caught up on that, then you're probably worrying about listening to the wrong people who aren't actually going to, you know, tell you exactly how you need to play to win.
Hey, Harry, how much of last night's form was contributed to by West Coast, and then in turn, going back a week earlier, were Collingwood just really good in the way they set up? Is that why you thought you played that way in comparison to last night? Because they were both so very different, and I assume the way you played last night, it's how you want to play every week.
Yeah, it is. It is much better, isn't it, when you can get off to a good start, get a bit of a lead. Probably two things. One, Collingwood's pressure, I thought, was just unbelievable. They've been renowned for, in big games, big moments, bringing a lot of pressure, particularly around the ball. They just got more numbers to the ball, won the contest, got it forward. There was no sort of real style and panache to it, but what they did was really effective, and that did limit our ability to actually use the ball the other way. They had the first 10 entries of the game, so as a defender, you're immediately on the back foot and you're probably not running off. You're not attacking the way that we normally would like to. And the other point was just how even our performance was across the board, I thought, against West Coast. So very, very much a team, you know, orientated performance. Yep. Where every single player chipped in. And that's what I thought we did really well at the start of the season.
That was very nice, Harold. Well done, mate. Do you talk about the start?
Yeah, we do. We certainly do. We reviewed the start of the game, as we normally would. Looked at the goals that were conceded, looked at how Collingwood were able to do that against us.
Yep.
We don't necessarily talk about, you know, music in the change rooms or let's all rant and rave beforehand. Let's get a motivational speaker. And these types of things, I think, are only really short-term motivations that, you know, might be effective very, very briefly. But as players, I think we're much more educated in the bigger picture and what the game's all about, that we don't really need those things. We're not quite as effective as we might think they are.
What's on today, Harold?
Yeah, go and do a bit of recovery today. You know,
take Michelle out for lunch or the kids, what?
Maybe. We'll see how we go. A little bit tight at the moment, Bill.
Oh, come on, Harris.
Fish and chips on the beach.
With the Dale, mate, or something. Actually, get some money out of your pocket.
Well, what has Cremorne got for lunch, Bill? They got anything decent down there?
No.
Yes, you know.
They do. You did a really nice schnitzel down there, Bill.
And the steak's hanging. You know, Harry, he never pays either. He just walks out saying, don't you know I play for the Cats?
No, we'll see what the day brings, but it's a pretty nice day down here, so we'll be out and about doing something with the family at some point for sure.
Hey, well done. Can't wait now. Richmond and Geelong is going to be an absolute cracker, but great response, as I said, Harry. Enjoy the rest of the day.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Willie Rioli is the other massive story that's come out of this week, Damo. Explain what the hell happened for a start.
Yep. Well, let's do it through the observations of Craig Vozzo initially, Jim, and we'll then evolve the conversation. Craig Vozzo, the football operations boss at the West Coast Eagles, just explaining what it was that Asada found.
Yeah, it's something that other than urine that has been produced by Willie as part of the testing process. At the moment, he's a little bit of a mess, to be honest, emotionally, and we've had some productive discussions with him, but they'll be ongoing with David Grace QC, who'll be our leading counsel on the matter, and we're still in the fact-finding process.
Just wanted to replay that because when he said it's a substance other than urine, and Asada operates under extreme confidentiality and it gets a lot of criticism, but that is one good aspect of its operations. But to the best of my knowledge, Jim, making his calls like other people did yesterday, it is a sports drink that has somehow found its way into this
sample. All right, so this is, I happened to have breakfast with a current AFL footballer during the week, and this whole thing had just blown open.
Yep.
And he turned around to me and said, I don't understand how this is possible. Because he said, I've been tested 100 times and the bloke watches you as the urine comes out of your body.
Can I give an answer to that? I reckon I've got an answer to that. And that is that the testers are asked to go and watch, but they have no right. If you decide to fill it with whatever you want to fill it with, their job is to take that sample and test it. For instance, if they see someone exchanging and putting Gatorade in it or whatever, then it's not their job to say, hey, mate, you haven't piddled in the bottle. That's the test they've supplied.
I can jump in here, BT, and say that is my take on what has happened here as well. And BT is right. That is how it's happened. It is not the tester's responsibility to say, hey, I see what you're doing. Let's do this again.
And that is under the banner of OH&S, I'm told, so that officers can't get into a confrontation regarding that. So they're told to stand back and observe.
So this is the decision he's made. And there is now remorse, obviously, displayed. He made a statement yesterday on his own social media. We've had Adam Simpson, which we... Do you want to hear that too, Jim, last night? We may as well. This is post-match last night. This is the emotional side to this, but we still need to talk about this beyond this comment from Adam Simpson.
Really care about Willie. We still do. So, you know, we addressed it on Wednesday night. You know, we look pretty tight. They look pretty galvanised. So, but we're hurting. We're hurting for him. You know, we're really, really worried about his mental health and making sure he's got a lot of family and support around him. And, you know, he's a gentle soul, lovely man. Partner with a child and another one on the way. So we just throw arms around him at the moment.
And that's the human side of it. And he's facing a four-year ban. I don't know how he can mitigate that down even one day from that four-year ban, from what I know of Asada. And what I just want to say, too, before we go on, it's sad. It's sad because he's a great story, great backstory,
and
a great person by all reports. But if we were to insert, Jim, the name Sun Yang into this story instead of Willie Rioli, we're not cutting any slack, are we? As a nation of sports observers who constantly bemoan other nations taking drugs in sport, and then we have a situation here where a substitute has been given to an Asada tester for urine. It's as blatant, the way it presents right now, of a case that the drug codes have been breached.
But should the AFL have a system like Asada being the governing body? Should the AFL have their own...
Yeah. Big enough to have their own.
Well,
and the reason why, because this system goes for Olympians.
Yes.
So not every AFL, 4 years.
Not AFL footballers.
Duck,
hang on.
He's substituted urine.
Listen, Damo, I'm not saying, I get that. I'm just saying, though, the system is, they're under a system that is for Olympians. And if they do something like that, the maximum there is 4 years.
Yeah. Because and that is
true. Because the Olympics come around every 4 years.
What happens
What
there,
I'm saying is, should it be different for... very naive guys that have no idea about the consequences and do something like that.
They tried
That's
this.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, no,
I've got a heart and I'm thinking
about
it.
You know, I do too.
And the system is there for Olympics, not for AFL.
It's tied up with government money. Just to answer Duck's question, BT, it's tied up with government money. They went down this path in the mid-2000s to try and break away from the Asada case. John Howard was still Prime Minister at the time. Peter Costello was got involved, and they had to then subscribe to it because of the government money that's attached to all the programs which reach across this country on a government, federal government basis.
The sad thing about this is just reading between the lines and guessing, I'm not saying I know this factually, but just reading between the lines, is if he had provided a real test, it would have 100% probably been negative.
Yep.
So there wouldn't be. We wouldn't even be talking about this now.
Or for a substance that would not have mattered in that particular test, given it was a non-match day test.
Given it was a performance-enhancing test, it would have proved negative.
So he's panicked.
He is simply panicked, not understood when they can test for what and how, and he's got confused, and he's just simply panicked. That's the way I read it. And as Damien points out, Asada have no give or take. It is black or white, and that's the way it is.
He shouldn't get 4 years.
But, Bill, would you be believing the story as we do? I believe his story. I believe it as BT has just couched it. But if it's Sun Yang presenting this as a defence, you're not believing that.
No, I'm not believing that. But
what, you can't pick and choose.
But as Duck said, it's
a pretty extreme measure.
It's an extreme
measure to put a drink into your urine sample. That's an extreme measure under any system.
You know what I would have liked to have seen them do? I would have liked to have seen them come back the next day.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't deserve the right BT.
And test him again for performance-enhancing drugs to clear that up.
That's right.
Right? They could have done that. They could still do it right now.
Yeah.
Well, they offered him the right to do it once, and he chose to put a drink in it.
And you know what? So if you give him the chance, if you go and test him again, then that gives the opportunity to at least clear him of performance-enhancing
drugs. No, it doesn't, because of the micro and macro dose. The micro dose goes on.
The footballers can be tested any time, Damo. So they could walk in there again today and they could test him.
Yeah.
Listen to what you're saying, though. If you were to try to present that to the Chinese swing body.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, you know.
Let's grow up as a nation of drug takers in sport.
But Sun Yang knew what he was doing, Damo.
Oh,
he knew exactly.
Did he really? Have you read that case?
No, I haven't read it all.
There are similarities to some other cases.
Willie Rioli's from the Tiwi Islands. He just loves playing footy. He got tested.
I think we know our
panicked.
Own people better than we know people from China.
And he's panicked.
Try and launch that argument internationally, BT.
I'm not launching any argument. You know what I'm doing, Damien? I'm talking common sense here. And I just said before that, I prefaced it by saying Asada deal in black or white facts, right? These are my opinions, not Asada's opinions, not the way Asada work. These are my opinions. I would have liked to have seen the drug tester say, mate, I just saw you do that in the bottle.
He loses his job.
I'll give you one more chance, tip it out and piss in the bottle.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I would have done. But I know that common sense doesn't apply to Asada drug testing.
But how does that drug tester know why he's doing it? He can't factor in everything you've just
upon
Damien, researching it.
Damien, you're missing
it
the point. I am saying that Asada have no way that they can do that. But I'm saying the rule of common sense, the pub test would be, and the normal thing, if that was me, I would have said, mate, just saw you tip that in there. Tip it out, piss in the bottle, or you're gone.
Yeah.
When will we hear?
It's not going to be fast-tracked. It won't be. It could well drag on now, Jim, for 6 to 9 months before we even get a hearing. Yeah.
He won't be able to play in that
time? No. He's provisionally suspended as of Thursday night when the AFL made its statements. And
so
now
you could lose him to the sport easily.
I cannot see, as sad as this is, I cannot see a way. He was one of the great stories out of, as you know, Bill, you interviewed him the next morning.
We had him in here, and he's the most respectful
It's as sad an outcome, and I just don't know how they can possibly, because this is not just an Australian situation now. They need to present this to WADA, which does police all sports around the world, to Duck's point, but it's not going to bounce. If an athlete on the American track and field team sees an Australian athlete in the football system cleared or allowed some leniency for substituting urine, the whole system breaks down.
So getting back to my point, is it time that the AFL have their own system?
Yeah, that's very hard, Duck. I was involved as a chairman when that was all being thrown around, and there's a government reason why they go down this path. But, all right, we'll quickly bang through another couple. Don Pike exits the Adelaide Crows, and we're going to that we've all chatted about during the week. The one line in his presser that interested me was around welfare for coaches.
Yeah, and just to back over what he did say as part of that presentation to the media, Jim, was that particular line.
I would like to make one quick comment around AFL footy. The landscape we now operate in as an industry is more challenging than ever for players, administrators, boards, coaches, and this is leading to a wide range of issues around contentment. I hope that in the future we can find a better balance in how we view the game, regardless of result. Otherwise, I do fear for the people's genuine love of the game.
It's brutal, isn't it? It's brutal.
And he actually brought that up at the end. Yes. He said, now I just want to say something here, which is very interesting.
I fear it's not going to change. As much as we are sympathetic, I think as an industry, and that's inclusive of media when I say that, the way the world works and the demand for stories and the demand for the clickbait type of media that we've all been and will be continue to be part of is of a nature, BT, where as much as people will highlight the problems associated with it, I don't see it being scaled back to what it once was in a better past.
Yep, the younger generation have got a lot to answer for.
I think
that's as simple as that, JB.
I think we
all this bullshit we carry on with on social media, it's destroying. Yep. It's destroying people's lives.
Also, the footy clubs, I've been on the other side of this argument, Purple, need to get better at supporting senior coaches and making sure that they get the balance right, because you've got to save them from themselves. Yeah. This is the problem. They will never leave the joint. They're there for 17 hours. They live it, breathe it. They can't get away from it. And we, as an industry, need to say to them, you have got to get more balance into your life.
Is that the key on your observations, 100%. Is it? Having sat there for 8 years as that president.
Yep.
Is it as simplistic though, JB, as just saying, okay, well, yeah, go on an extended holiday in December and January, because the furnace isn't on you then. The furnace is on you during the footy season.
I agree.
So well and good getting time off and going on a great holiday, and they should all get that anyway.
I think we put them too much under the pressure cooker when they're on at work.
So when the furnace is, when the footy season starts to when it finishes, that's when the furnace is on you, and they can't go on a holiday then.
Yeah. But Brian, you say social media. It's also the media.
Yeah, absolutely.
The media outlets, all of us. Imagine Chris Scott today if he would have lost. We would have been. He would have been.
We can't wait to get a coach. We love getting coaches.
We need to get to a break, is what we need to do. David Noble is going to join us next, the head of footy at the Brisbane Lions. Huge game coming up up in Brisbane. Also, if you want to listen to the amazing 2 hours of broadcasting around Danny Frawley, and I suggest you do if you're unable to hear it live, because it's quite extraordinary what this incredibly talented broadcaster brought to all of us over a long period of time. Triple M, you can podcast and listen to the whole thing. It is just nuts. Now, we've had a good look at last night. Fantastic, the Cats, obviously. Now we have a look, Bristol, up to Brisbane, where GWS take on the Lions.
Yeah.
We saw an unbelievable response from the Cats last night after a disappointing first-up performance in the finals. Are we going to see a similar thing from the Brisbane Lions? Let's get to their footy boss, David Noble, who's been good enough to join us. David, welcome.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Hey, you would have had a good look last night, and I reckon you would have thought this is about the same response that we want, and I expect from our group tonight.
Yeah, I hope so, Jim. We're pretty confident going into this game tonight. We've didn't quite get it. I think the intensity level for long enough last week, and the one thing we do know about our guys, they're quick learners, and hopefully they're able to put that on the park tonight.
So Nobes, you reckon it was more sort of the attitude with regards to that intensity than it was any sort of game plan or any tactical thing? Or you reckon it was more in the hands of that?
Oh, I think that the obvious was the set shots in front of goal, BT, wasn't it? We didn't really take our chances. But the 14 guys with their first game, I think it's as much as we like to tell them until they get out there and they taste it a little bit. I think their capacity to now, put a longer sustained level of contested ball in place, I think, will be something that we're really looking forward to.
David, the one change in personnel was forced with the injury to Mitch Robinson, him being replaced by Nick Robertson. It can't be underestimated what Mitch has done for the team this year, but there are similar aggression at the ball similarities, aren't there, with the two players?
There are indeed, Dame. They've even got similar haircuts. So,
and names.
They both bring a level of intensity and competitiveness. We like that about both Nick and Mitch. I think Mitch's role, though, for us across the wing, his ability to play that structural piece for us really well with McCluggage on the other side. So, we think that Nick certainly got the running capacity to do that. We've played him through halfback and a lot in the wing at NEFL level. And we think rather than trying to manufacture, something else, For us, with the systems that we think that we've built up over the years, it's just easy to bring Nick in and play that very similar role off the wing.
You've got a young man in Hipwood who, as you said, played obviously his first final. He's had some really big moments. Who's the person that gets around him during the week and makes sure that he's doing the things that you need him to do today in a big final?
Yeah, it's a good point, Duck. It's it's an aspect of pulling on a bit of experience, you know, for him. I know that he's spoken to Lynchy in the past around, you know, that sort of role. I think internally this week he'd be speaking to Jed Adcock, who looks after our forward line. I know Fakes has spent a bit of time with him as well in regards to, I think sometimes with those young guys, it's almost like trying to do too much. Mm. And it's a matter of just go back, compete, you know, keep things fairly simple, bring the ball to ground, because that's where we know we've been really good with our ground cover. So, yeah, he would have spoken to Fakes a fair bit about that role this week.
Dave, Billy here, mate. Have you got enough goal kickers up there? We just need some goals. I'm looking at Eka and Charlie. It was quiet last week. Hopefully he kicks a few more.
Yeah, we generally average about 8, Bill, and, you know, we didn't really seem like the Tigers were able to force us a bit wide last week, and we weren't able to bring enough of our own, smalls particularly into the mix. So, yeah, look, we spent a little bit of time, not a heap on our ball movement this week, but getting it into spots where we know we're a little bit more dangerous, and that brings the Rainers into it. McCarthy, Zorks probably missed a couple that he'd normally kick. So,
Lincoln.
Yeah, you're right. We do. Normally we've been good at having a spread rather than just relying on one.
I was up at the game last week, David, and Rainey, the man you just mentioned, just some little snippets of what we're going to see from this young kid over the next 10 years. A couple of those, how clean he was and how electric he was by foot around the contest was, he's going to give the Brisbane Lions fans some joy.
He's certainly going to be one of those ones, Jim, isn't he, that you'll watch him as a developing player, you'll fall in love with him as a fan, and you'll be able to go to the game and watch him, you know, perform. You're right, he jumped into a couple of those contests and they were a bee's whisker away from, you know, from securing a couple of those. So he's worked exceptionally hard in the back half of the year to get himself into a spot. He loves the big stage, and hopefully he comes and delivers tonight again.
Hey, Dave, do you show them any vision of what GWS did last week against the Bulldogs? Say to them, expect this, because it was something that we hadn't seen from GWS. They were very aggressive.
Yeah, it's probably something that the players brought up themselves, Duck, I reckon, during the week about, you know, the level of intensity, so we know what's coming. Credit to them, they were able to, you know, deliver it to a really good side last week with the Doggies. So we don't expect anything less, you know, for them coming this week. So, no, they're very consciously aware of what that's going to look like tonight.
David, you never made the journey of your son, John, the beautiful story that he's now got this year about yourself. But given a win tonight would have you involved with a team that would play against him, must be going through the minds. I mean, how proud are you?
Yeah, it's a bit surreal on all fronts, Dane. You know, sort of I was down there last Friday night when BT found me again
lying on
the concrete tape.
I got you.
we're very proud of him as a family, but we've already set the parameters. If we get through tonight, we've said, right, that's it, no talking.
Really?
I've even asked Mum who she's going to support. So.
Now, Nobes holds a very prominent position in the footy world these days, and of course, he was coached by myself down at Paran.
When you were bugging the opposition boxes.
Just putting that to one side for the moment,
Bugger.
Nobes. Just a more serious side of it. Like, you would have been at Adelaide when Pikey was there. You were head of footy there then, yes?
Yes.
So, were you surprised to see him step away during the week?
Not in regards to the manner, I think, BT, as to how he handled himself. He was, you know, good mates with Pikey, and he was very much a man of, taking responsibility and certainly honour, and I wasn't ultimately surprised with, you know, how we went about it. I was hopeful that, you know, they were going to support him for, you know, for at least another 12 months to see if, you know, he could sort of get it up and going. So it was a bit sad in the end for me to sort of see him leave, you know, with some unfinished business. But I certainly thought he handled himself with great honour and in the degree in which I know Don to be.
Hey, in your role as head of footy, a bit different in Brisbane, but what Don Pike said, I thought, in his press conference really resonated, David, and that is we've got to start protecting these blokes.
Yeah.
You know, these 18 senior coaches just get pounded, but from all angles, and the support they need and the protection they need so that they can emerge out of the role without being in tatters, I think it's really important.
It is, Jim. I couldn't agree with you more. I know just in my own role, moving away from Adelaide and moving to Brisbane, the noticeable difference in, you know, in a lifestyle balance, the role's still the same, but the intensity is way different. And I think we've got to carve out some real time for our coaches to have a break, you know, whether it's all of December and January, and, you know, they've just got to be virtually lassoed away from the place.
You've got to save them from themselves, don't you? That's half the battle.
Well, and, you know, we come into trade and draft, and whilst they might try and pinch a week, we're on the phone to them nearly every day. Mm-hmm. It's unfair in that sense. So I know Bucks did it pretty well a couple of years ago when he sort of had that, you know, quite a really substantiated break. And it is a battle, Jim, internally, with, I'd imagine, with all the GMs trying to get your senior coach to take, you know, some time away and down tools and not feel guilty, I think, about taking some time off. That seems to be one of the big things with coaches and the coaching environment, that they feel guilty a lot about putting the tools down and shutting the computer and not continuing to do some work. So we've got a long way to go to help support that crew, I reckon.
Oh, you've got a beauty up there. Love the way Chris Fagan's gone about his business this year and handling everything, including us, the media. It's been fantastic, as have you today. Good luck tonight in a big game of footy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for interest.
Dave Noble up there, the head of footy at the Brisbane Lions. And interesting to see what happens tonight, Bristol, because the Giants last week were as ferocious as any team's been in a final for a long time. But is that sustainable? Can they bring that again?
They have to. Otherwise, we're going to be asking the same questions of them. I think they can. But the learning for Brisbane is they will have played that one final now, have a better understanding of the intensity that's required in that situation. And I'd be surprised if they didn't deliver a little bit more this time.
The biggest thing that Brisbane didn't deliver, and we talked about it last night, and the Cats talked about it as well, if you kick goals early, scoreboard pressure is better than any other pressure. It teams are then on the back foot, Bill.
Yes.
So you nail those early ones, and it makes a massive difference.
Just one thing. Is there any reason why you won't sit down today? You're standing up. You're in your active.
Active gear.
You're standing up as if you want us to see that.
Yeah. Like, you can want sit to see down, your muscles.
Tuck your legs under the bench.
Sit down, your floor.
Unlike you,
put your guns away and put a loose shirt on for a change.
I actually get a lower back. I stiffen up. So I like to get up. I've got a sore neck. I'd like to keep
But you're all over the teams, and with Brisbane, you noted Robertson come in and Robinson went out. He was all over that. Same name.
No, not similar, I said, Bill. Not same.
You're all over selling,
which was the question I posed to David Noble.
I wondered why we went with it again.
I wondered too, to be honest.
Anyway, you know what? You're going to get a clip.
I'd love to see that. Look at Bill. As soon as Duck threatens it, Bill just evaporates.
He's shaping up, and he'll get down there on Clarendon Street, Duck, and he'll sort of look to the right as he goes out the sliding door, look to the left and go,
where's the most
people? Who can I impress?
Where's the most people? Which
as
way?
I go and jump on my scooter.
Scooter. You idiot.
What are we doing, by the way, now that we're wrapping up? Been a bit, just a sort of jammed condensed. In, Rob, because we've had other stuff to do. But what are we doing? Fat, I notice you've gone and had a haircut. Have you got something on?
I'm going down to Geelong. I'm going to sit in the Cremorne Hotel. And bet responsibly and drink responsibly.
How much, if you don't mind me asking, do you pay for that haircut? It better not be more than $10.
You know what happened? I went in and I thought, I might get it for nothing. $23.
No. It's got to take 8 minutes at best.
And they're only the clippers. He just goes around and
looks
bang.
Half done.
I went and had a hairy this morning. $190.
Bristol, no one knows what happens in yours. That's a whole different story.
Notice you had a little bit of a silver fox put through it, some sort of bit of a purpley colour.
It's just been cut back.
Bit of a purple colour through
there. Just dark.
Anyway, I'm off. Thanks for asking.
No one's asked you, Duck. All right. I'll wrap it up. Now.
Duck's off to do some bench presses.
I'm off to the zoo.
The zoo?
I am going to the zoo
That's
today.
Why you're in that gear. Oh. You know that is Mumville down there. And you're going to be, you'll be pushing a pram by the end of the day.
He'll be in the butterfly capture. He hates butterflies, but there'll be mums in there.
Oh, no. no.
Exactly. Oh, jeez. Come on, Duck. Now, go and put some clothes on.
Yeah. It's bloody embarrassing.
It is. I can't look at him.
You know, he doesn't even wear the jocks under the shorts, you know. He goes to the internal job.
Duck, you are getting changed before you get into it. Like, I'm being serious. I actually am being serious. You are getting changed.
I'm not going to be doing this.
What about you, Purple? What does the rest of the day hold?
This will really impress you. Yeah, well, I've got the trolley in the back of the car. I'm heading down to the market.
The market?
The South Melbourne market.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. One of those little
I do.
The two-wheel
jobs. The two-wheeler jobs. Yeah, my Nana had one way, way back, and I've always had one. Oh, no. So how boring does that make me?
Hey, you know what?
Real dorky.
That's where you got to carry stuff.
Now, do you go and have a beer or go and have a bed or do something?
No, I go to the potato stall and then I go to the fruit and veg stall and the meat stall.
You are boring.
Happy to be that way today.
I'm going down to Fitzroy with all the hipsters, Jim. I'll be going down there to just...
DJ somewhere with Ben Stratton?
Or wander the streets down there. Just fit in.
Talk about you. Have a go at me for parading around.
Coffees.
He loves parading around and people yell out, Roaming Brian.
Roma.
And you, Jim?
I'm off to Brisbane, of course, to take a look at GWS and the Lions.
Cop the whack there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm doing on the way there, Purple. Yeah. I'm going to stop at about 7 local cricket clubs, suburban turf style. Yeah, and I'll find a batsman at one of them that can bat better than some of the clowns that are playing for our country.
There's only two batsmen
we've got. It is embarrassing how badly we're batting.
Labuschagne and Smith are the only two we've got.
The rest, it is an embarrassment. So that's my project for this afternoon. Yeah. Hey, great catching up with everyone.
And your boys.
Can't wait to see all of you next weekend when the big prelims come rolling around. It's going to be exceptional. McDonald's, by the way, the Monopoly game at Macca's is back and bigger than ever. Visit maccasplay.com.au for full terms. Been a beauty for McDonald's. Triple M, Rocks Footy.